I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, so you're telling me we're good to go.
I think we're good to go, Eddie. We're good to go.
We're good to go. All right, so 3, 2, 1. All right, we do a podcast. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi, Jerry. There was a story I put on the show sheet today. It was at the very bottom of the show sheet, and I never got to it because I thought, you know, sometimes I put things on the show sheet, and then I go, well, this is, feels more like a podcast topic. And this one felt more like a podcast topic. It was strip club owner was on some podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how many podcasts there are, Jerry. We have strip club owners as guests on podcasts.
Or maybe even having their own podcast.
Or having their own podcast. Yeah. And this one strip club owner said that Quentin Tarantino came in there one time.
Okay.
And paid a girl $10,000 to go into the back room to lick her toes. And he kept sucking on her toes.
Oh, he wanted to lick her toes.
Yeah.
He paid
her $10,000 to suck her toes.
I got to be honest. You're Quentin Tarantino. What are you doing?
Right.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sure the $10,000 for him is like $10 for us, but that's weird.
It is weird. Stripper feet?
Yeah.
Probably was, you know, dancing in her high heels all night, sweaty, disgusting stripper feet.
Yeah, but you can clean them quickly.
That's true. And strippers do have to keep their feet clean because you got to think of this. If they're dancing on the stage and people are sitting by the stage, their feet are right in your faces.
Ugh.
But I didn't like that the strip club guy said this because I guess there are cameras all over the place in these strip clubs,
so,
which I understand. But like they were all, as soon as they saw Quentin Tarantino went into one of the back rooms, they all went into his office.
Right.
And were looking at the cameras to see him sucking this girl's toes.
Okay. Very interesting. Right. You want what happens down there stays down there.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't appreciate him taking to the podcast to tell everybody that Quentin Tarantino likes to suck stripper toes.
Did he give up anybody else's weird quirks about them?
If he did, it wasn't newsworthy enough to make it into these news articles.
Is this a podcast you'd be interested in listening to?
No.
Stripper secrets?
No.
I think I might.
Stripper secrets?
Like, well, I mean, he clearly is giving away some inside stuff. I would be interested to hear some of the crazy crap that goes on. No?
You know what? Probably. I probably would be interested if I heard about celebrities doing
and
things.
I was
going
to say, then you drop a name here and there. By the way, Ben Affleck likes lick a nipple. Who knows?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. Like, to me, if there's people I already assume, like, if you tell me people in Motley Crue did something, I'd be like, yeah.
Of course, right.
I need something. I need, like, a wholesome person.
Like Jason
things.
Bateman.
Yeah, like, oh, Jason Bateman. He goes in and he licks toes of strippers. Like, oh, really?
So you'd be interested in that.
You know what? I guess I would be.
I mean, you got that from Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Then I was, this Joe Rogan podcast. He had Andrew Dice Clay on the other day.
Oh, God. Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to listen to this.
Sounds partly interesting and partly torturous.
And it was. It was that. It was partly interesting, and that part was very small.
Oh.
And mostly torturous. But I don't know why.
You keep listening.
Yeah. For some reason, I treat these things like, I don't know, like it's some sort of class assignment where once you start
to listen.
You got to finish it.
I don't have the time to keep up.
I will finish it. Well, I have time in the car. That's where I don't ever listen
outside
the car.
Yeah, but everyone is over 3 hours.
Yeah.
But he's doing four of them a week.
He doesn't do four.
Oh, I thought he did Monday through Thursday.
No. He does like maybe two or three.
And I thought he did. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
He does like three a week, and one of them almost always is an MMA one, which I don't listen to.
All right. So if there's two a week you're listening to, you got plenty of time to get. I got you.
Yeah, and especially if the other podcasts that I listen to don't have anything interesting, I sometimes will go back to a Joe Rogan one that I didn't deem interesting. This Andrew Dice Clay he really fancies himself this, I don't know. Like,
who, Dice?
Dice. This innovative, incredible, greatest comic of all time.
Really?
And yeah. What I don't like, and I've heard other people say this too, so Dice claims that he is the first comic to play arenas.
Okay.
Steve Martin was playing arenas in the 70s.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, which is why Steve Martin quit doing stand-up, because he got so big and he was he said he was doing them in arenas, and it was hard to, you had to do a different act because people had to be able to see you from far away.
Sure, yeah.
And then people are just watching on a screen, and he didn't like that. So he was doing those when running around with the arrow in the head with the rabbit ears, King Tut. He was doing all that. That was playing arenas.
And I actually don't think, having seen, I'm trying to think the worst, because I feel like the worst comedy shows I've seen have been in big venues.
Yeah.
The smaller venues is where it's just better, because you don't want to be watching a screen.
No.
You know, the Seinfeld thing, that was pretty close to almost too big at the Beacon.
Really?
Just because we our seats weren't great. They were way up. It was just small enough that it was okay. But I'll tell you what, if I had to go any higher in those seats, too far.
Yeah.
And there were probably 30 more rows behind me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we were in the front row of the upper deck, or the second row, I'm sorry, second row of the upper deck of the Beacon. And it was high.
Is that the largest venue you've seen a stand-up perform in?
I don't know, because I feel like I have watched comics on a screen. I'd really have to think about it.
Yeah, I definitely saw Jim Gaffigan at Madison Square Garden. And that was weird. It was too big.
Too big. Yeah, I mean, one person in a 20,000-seat arena.
Yeah.
How can it be good?
And he didn't even, this is no crack on him, it wasn't packed.
Right. What would you say? How many?
I don't know. It's hard
half?
To tell.
Did he
definitely
get
more than half. Like, I was on the floor, but way back.
Okay.
So I wasn't close. But
so
I never
10,000 people, maybe? It's still a lot of people.
Yeah, I remember I did have to watch the screen.
That is a lot of people. And you went, when you went to see Bruce at the Garden,
yeah.
You sat in the Chase Bridge?
Yeah.
Good place to watch a show.
Tremendous.
Because Paramore is there tonight. I really want to go.
Tonight?
Yeah.
You're going to go on a Tuesday night?
They're not playing anywhere else. It's the only shot I got. They don't tour. It's like the only shot I get to see them.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm probably not doing
Tuesday
it.
Tuesday night, tough.
They're all tough.
Yeah.
I would probably stay here in Boomer's office. Might get more sleep if I did that.
That's true.
By the time that show's over, I might be here by 10:30.
Right.
Sleep till 4. Guess what? That's about what I get at home. In some cases, more.
Yeah. Right, the cats won't wake up here.
No. What I would not do is go home.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. I don't know. But I saw that. I knew they were playing tonight. I had it in my calendar to go. And then I forgot about it. And then I got the alarm this morning. Oh, crap. I forgot. And I went online. I saw tickets are not bad in that Chase Bridge. And you made me think. And that's where you saw Bruce Springsteen and you loved
it.
Yeah,
I loved it. Loved it.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, Jerry. Yeah, so I just sat through this Dice Clay. He just like fancies himself such a innovative. I never got it. Did you like Dice Clay when he was popular?
Did I like him? Sure. I mean, did he make you laugh the first time you heard him? Yes. After that, same old act.
Right.
And I was kind of good.
Right. The first time you heard it was so shocking.
It was new.
and it was new.
Yeah. It was shocking.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll listen to that on the way home. This is the only thing I really don't like about the Rogan podcasts. Sometimes they don't start for an hour.
Yeah, no, they start right away, but Dice is
no, but they don't talk about anything sometimes.
Well, Dice went in with an agenda.
Okay.
Like he was going to talk about all these things. So he tried to like work everything in. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. I was in Whole Foods over the weekend. They just put in self-scanning checkouts.
They're all doing it.
But you know what's weird? This is the problem with the Whole Foods one. Whole Foods has so many different produce items that you now have to figure out the code for.
I know. Can't you start typing it in and it gives you the choices?
You can, but in a place like Whole Foods, I'll give you a perfect example. I went in and I got sweet potatoes. You know, seems simple enough.
I would think so.
I type in sweet potatoes. 8 different kinds popped up. And they're all different prices. Well, I have no idea which ones I grabbed.
One.
Yeah. But you can't even tell on there what the price is till you select it. So I'm
that's genius.
Did I get the, legitimately, orange sweet potato, red sweet potato, U.S. sweet potato, Vietnamese sweet potato?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I got the sweet potato.
So did someone have to help you?
No, I just guessed one. I guess whatever. I'm going to look at the one that looks most like a regular sweet potato because I feel like that's what I grabbed.
The orange one.
The orange one. I chose orange sweet potato. But when it rang up, it seemed more expensive than like when I buy sweet potatoes in Stop and Shop.
Well, it's because it was Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's part of that too.
That is part of the problem.
I remember I was doing Whole Foods. When I used to do the food shopping, I had the genius idea of start shopping at Whole Foods. That lasted like 3 trips. My wife's like, you realize you've spent so much more going there than here? I'm like, yes, but it's better food. Yeah. There's no money in the checkbook. Got it. Back to Stop and Shop. Understood.
Yeah. I was the Whole Foods Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Okay.
All 3 days.
A lot of people do that, though.
I went for each of our dinners.
Yeah. No, a lot of people. I like that because you're buying fresh. If you've got the time, that's a smart way to do it.
Yeah. And I was actually surprised for Memorial Day weekend. I thought everything was going to be packed like crazy shopping, but I guess people went shopping.
Were down the shore.
But that's where I was, even. I thought people would be buying barbecue stuff.
Good point.
But I guess people had, and I said to the one girl at one of the cash registers, I said, I expected it to be crazy here. She said, yeah. She goes, I think people did their shopping during the week for Memorial Day weekend.
I know by me, it was very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Barrel and Roost Saturday night, I guess, with Kim. Usually very difficult to get in. Even with reservations, you get there. And, you know, they're great with the reservations. They hold them almost to the minute. They are terrific with that. But there's always people waiting. We walked in. I'm like, wow, you can actually just walk in and get a table. There were people there. There was a great ambiance, as they say.
An ambiance.
But it was not. It felt like a holiday that people were down the shore.
Yeah.
The Highway 35 was quiet. It was just weird. But it was a beautiful night, Memorial Day weekend. Well,
and we had a beautiful Memorial Day weekend,
Yes,
Jerry,
we did. Yes,
which
we did.
Is so rare.
Yeah. No, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. A lot of baseball for me, but it was pretty good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I was also listening to a podcast today on my way in about youth sports and how it's declining, the number of participants.
Yeah. See, I hear this all the time. In what way?
There are less kids playing.
I don't see it.
Yeah, it's probably in different parts of the country.
Maybe. I mean, I can tell you rec leagues are hurting. because of private club teams and travel.
Yeah, this is what they said, that the that the kids do travel.
Yeah.
And then the rec leagues are not so
because
much.
Because travel's not what... So, even for you, as a kid, you would play your rec baseball.
What's that, like Little Fellows League of Colonia?
Yeah. It's where every team gets 12 kids. The 12th kid might never have played before, and the top kid might be a stud. And then you got all sorts of kids in between, and they try to divvy up the teams so the teams are relatively even. And then at the end of, you play in the spring, and then at the end of the spring going into the summer, usually your township that you play for, the coaches get together and they look for the 12 best kids in
yes,
the league.
Yes, that's what happened.
And they create a, so you lived in Colonia, they would create the Colonia summer travel team.
Correct.
And you would do anything from, so for us, all we did was one tournament and then a county tournament. And that was the extent of our travel baseball. There was nothing more than that. And I remember the first tournament would be right after Father's Day. And then the big tournament was usually around 4th of July weekend. And that was the baseball season. Spring, little bit of summer, and then you were done until football began or soccer began in the fall. There was no fall baseball. Now what's happened because of this league called USABL, United States Amateur Baseball League, they created pay-for-pay travel is essentially what it is. So, yes, you have those town programs that will put together their 12 best, and then they will play rec with their regular teams, and then that group of 12 will go on and play. So rec baseball in the spring is usually Monday through Saturday. This USABL does specifically Sunday games and tournaments too. And then there are private clubs that just say, hey, for $4,000, we put together a team. You don't have to play your rec. We're just going to play USABL season games and tournaments. And so that's where all the kids have gone.
To $4,000 a year to play?
Those are a specific private club. I mean, you could pay up to $8,000, $9,000, or you could pay. I'll give you an example. We now play for the Marlboro Mustangs. Used to be a town program. It's really now more run like a club team because there's only two kids from Marlboro on the team, and there were from everywhere else. We're $1,500 to play. Now, that includes your fall baseball season, your winter training, which is nothing more than an hour a week for 10 weeks. But whatever, you get those. Spring baseball and then summer baseball and the tournaments we play. So real kind of cheap, this Marlboro program that we do. The rec leagues are dead because the kids are all playing USABL. So if you look at it, I believe they had in New Jersey, USABL had 1,500 teams for spring baseball. 12 kids on a team, you do the math. There are so many kids playing. It's absurd. So
yeah,
we just
are kids that aren't great at it still playing? No,
that's the thing. That's what people don't understand. They are. They have USABL. This is why it's not travel like you think. They have level 1 beginner travel to level 5 elite travel and everywhere in the middle. So when I coached Hazlitt, I put us in at level 3 average travel team, and we were good. We competed, almost won a couple of championships, won some tournaments. This Marlboro team, we go in as a level 5. And then there's a lot of level 1 teams. They have all sorts of... And you're talking about kids that aren't very good, but there's a place for them to play.
And it was weird, too, in this podcast, they were talking about like the number of kids playing sports is in these rec leagues is down. And they go, oh, you know, and it's bad that kids don't play because it's been found that kids who play in these organized sports have a higher self-esteem.
Sure.
I feel like my self-esteem was shot down when I played baseball because I sucked.
That's because you didn't have any hits.
Right, but there was a lot of us like that. Like, kids that are not very good, that's not good for their self-esteem to play baseball.
It would be if you played on a team with all level one talent. You might have stood out. So there's good and bad to it.
Yeah.
I do find, and the late Rick Wolf, amazed me he didn't know about this because he used to do shows on the declining numbers. And I remember saying to him one time in the newsroom, I'm like, you know, you always do that. I'm like, how come you never talk about USABL? He's like, what's that? I'm like, what's that? Like, it's the biggest youth baseball league in New Jersey, which is now branching out, which it has, into Staten Island and Brooklyn and into Pennsylvania. Like, they're growing. And he wasn't even aware of it. All he knew of were these town league. So Hazlitt, when I played, this is what my father told me. Because my dad, when I was a kid, used to be the treasurer, only 2 years, but he was the treasurer for 2 years in Hazlitt. There were approximately 1,000 kids in the baseball and softball program when I played. Right now, there's 200. But those other 800 kids are still playing. They're just not playing for their town anymore. You know how many kids play on? So for Hazlitt, there are in within, I would say, a 15-minute drive, there are probably 30 club teams, easy, that you can sign up for. And that's what they do. They go play in different places.
And why does some of these play? You know what I always think is weird is like when they go, you'll see like a GoFundMe or something and be like, send our kids to Ripken Baseball.
Like we did. Like I did the fundraiser with the calendar. Yeah. Because of the expense. So for, all right, so there's two big travel, there's two big 12U tournaments. And 12U, I mean by 12 years old. It's the last year you play on the smaller field before you go up to the major league size field. Cooperstown, or what I did was Ripken Myrtle Beach, which was phenomenal. Cooperstown for the team. Now you have to stay with them. There's two different Cooperstown tournaments. So let's go with the one where you stay with them in the bunks and they feed you and it's a full week. The coaches stay with the kids. That per team is $26,000. That's what you got to come up with. So that's why teams try to fundraise, because the parents are still going to have to rent a house for themselves or a hotel room to be up there and get their own meals. So it's like a vacation for them that they probably have to pay a couple $1,000s for. And then on top of that, it's $1,500 for the kid. So they try to fundraise to pay for the kids to take away some of the financial burden. That's why.
It always seems weird, though, because I feel like...
If you can't afford it, don't play. You can make that case.
Yeah. Only not that way, but like asking random strangers to donate.
Yeah, I don't like
you're selling a calendar.
See, I don't like the GoFundMe thing.
Yeah, because that's like, do I give to children's cancer or get this kid to play baseball in Cooperstown?
Usually, I've never seen a GoFundMe for it, but yeah. I believe you when you've
maybe
seen
it. Maybe there is a while. I'm just saying, like, I see things where it's like, oh, help donate.
Yeah, a lot of things are, we run box pools, Super Bowl pools.
Yeah.
To me, that's fun, though.
If you're getting something,
yeah.
Like you're getting a calendar.
Yes.
So the person who's buying a calendar, you're the one donating
correct.
The proceeds.
That's true. That is true. But that is a good point. I put all the money towards the team.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The one thing that I don't mind, I don't like doing it, the canning.
Oh, I hate the canning.
I hate the canning with a passion, but I don't have an issue if it's for a team in their town. So, like, we did it. I only did it once, and I told Kim, I ain't standing out there. Because if someone watches the show and says, you're begging for money for quarters, I said, you can take them. I ain't taking them.
Yeah.
And we did, and the kids made, like, $700 in 4 hours. People are very generous. But they had their Hazlitt Hawk shirt on. They were at a supermarket in Hazlitt. People were very friendly about it. But I wouldn't take that team into Morganville. Hey, Morganville residents, send Hazlitt to Cooperstown. I wouldn't do that.
It's even weird, like when the fire departments do it, like once a year or twice
sure.
a year, they stand out there with a boot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't our taxes pay for the
apparently
fire department?
Not. Apparently not. I don't know what. I don't know. I get the every year. I get the letter for the fundraiser. I send $100 in and
what fundraiser
for the fire department?
Oh, fire.
It's a volunteer fire department, so I guess they're not funded great.
Yeah,
I don't know how it works. I would like to think the town funds them since they're going to try and save lives for
yes.
us.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, and each town's run different. It's weird.
Towns, cities, states, all run different.
Yeah.
You see, Chris Christie's probably running for president.
Is that right?
I just saw that this morning. Not official. Someone from CBS tweeted.
So he's going to run for the Republican Party, I suppose?
I would think so.
So it'd be him, Ron DeSantis, Trumpster.
I don't think Trump, yeah.
I think Trump's running.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to end up on the Republican ticket.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't
even know how that works.
I think it might be Trump. I think he might
he's
run
on
as
the
an,
Trump ticket?
As an independent.
Really?
That's what I think.
But I think he knows, like, running as an independent, you get, you
I
don't
think
really
he's
get a shot.
Cocky enough to think that he could run no matter what
yeah.
the party line was. What was the old party line from the 1700s? Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
There were the Republicans, the Democrats, and there was another one. Oh, come on. Early U.S. government.
Yeah, this is vaguely familiar.
Party affiliation. Let's see. The Democratic Party by Andrew Jackson. Here we go. Political parties in the United States. Now, you got the Democratic, the Republican Party, not Libertarian. I know there's something else here, and I'm not seeing it. But I only
recently found out that GOP,
yeah,
Grand Old Party, is Republicans.
I knew the GOP was Republicans. I didn't know that what it stood for. That's interesting. The Alliance GOP. Party. That's something else I was thinking about here.
Yeah, I think
the Federalists.
Federalists. I'm going to run under the Federalists Party.
No, maybe that's not. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so be it.
When is the next presidential election?
24. Well, I think the next president would be 2024 would be the election. They would take over in January 25.
So we got a whole nother year and a half.
Yeah, we got all. Now we got the run. Crap is going to start ramping up.
Yeah.
The 12 months leading into it are when it starts to get good.
Yeah. Start slinging some dirt on people.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Trump's talking about people's vaginas, so.
Vaginas.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show here. Tomorrow we come back. It's a Wednesday. And we'll have a warm-up program material for you beginning at 5 a.m.
Yeah, we will, yeah.
As usual, we start every day at
5 o'clock.
Until then, so